Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. It is good to sing praises to God. It is good to go to God in prayer. And it is good to study His Word, and it is very good to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, I appreciate Brother Chris explaining sometimes our terminology because we don't want people to misunderstand. And I heard Brother Denny Petrillo one time say about that when we say sometimes we do this as a convenient, this is a convenient time or as a matter of convenience. And Brother Denny said, giving is not a matter of convenience to God. It's a matter of command. You know, we give today because God has commanded us to give. And appreciate Brother Chris taking the time to explain sometimes the way that we say things. We don't want people to get the wrong impression. Most of us that have been in the church for many, many years understand exactly what's being said, but that's not everybody. And we want to make certain that everybody understands God's Word to the best of our ability to explain it to them. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, Peter begins this chapter actually backing up just a few verses into chapter 1. Verse 23 kind of sets the stage for us. He says, back up to 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Lord, or the word of the Lord, abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. And then chapter 2, and always, friends, when you see the word therefore, you've got to back up. Because if you read the word therefore, you don't know what it means unless you back up and see what the therefore goes to. Therefore is the preacher's favorite word. It was Paul's favorite word. We love to say something and then go, therefore. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul's doing, or I'm sorry, the Apostle Peter here. Paul did not write the book of Peter, 1 Peter. That's exactly what the Apostle Peter's doing here. He says, therefore, because we have been born again of a seed that's imperishable, because we have been purified from the Word of God, because the Word of God endures forever, therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now that's setting up verse 4 in our text for this morning, which we'll focus on verses 9 through 12, but we're setting up what Peter is going at here. He's trying to make a point that if we have come to God, we have to be a certain kind of people. We have to be a certain type of person. We have to be, as he's going to talk about, and we're going to see this morning, we have to be a certain kind of stone. Verse 4 says, and coming to Him, Jesus Christ, coming to Him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Peter is telling us that Jesus is a chosen living stone. He is a stone that men rejected by not understanding His mission, that men rejected because they didn't want Him as God, because they don't want Him as Savior, because they don't want Him as Lord, that men have rejected Him. And we have seen this. We see this in the New Testament. We see this in His life. And we see it today, do we not? Men rejecting Jesus Christ. Men will always reject Jesus Christ. In fact, the vast majority of people will reject Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself said that, right? That the broad is the way, and many there be that find it, and they go to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Many will reject Him. John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said that the world did not comprehend, or they did not grasp Him, or they did not want Him. So this is going to be the case. So He is the stone that's been rejected. He is the stone, though, according to verse 4, that is chosen by God. God chose Him even though men rejected Him. See, now this is where we see a contrast between God and man and what God sees to be important and what men see to be important. Jesus Christ to God is precious. He is chosen, and yet the world rejects Him. Folks, if we want to be God's, if we want to be what Christ wants us to be, we have to be precious and chosen in the eyes of God, and the world is going to reject us. So stop trying to please the world. Because they hated Him, and they will hate you. Jesus Christ told the disciples. We fall into a trap when our motivation is to please the world, when we're called to please God. Verse 7 tells us that Jesus would become, as a result of Him being chosen by God, that He would become the cornerstone, the stone which all the other stones would be built upon. He is the strength of the building. He is that which holds it all together. He is that which is most important in God's spiritual house. You know, the importance of the chosen stone, we see that in the fact that this is the kind of stone that God wants for His spiritual temple. He is precious in the sight of God. That which God desires and considers valuable to the construction of His house is that stone which Jesus Christ represents. He is the stone that we are to all be like if we want to be a part of that house. As the cornerstone, our strength comes from Him, and He holds us up by His power and His strength as God and His Savior. In verse 5 it says, "You also." He goes right over to us. He's talking about coming to Jesus. Jesus is a living stone. He is the living cornerstone. But then He goes, "You also," talking about us, "as living stones," we too are living stones, "are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The church is not a building of brick and mortar. I remember the Sunday morning after the church building burned in Miami, Oklahoma, and my sermon that morning was what the church of Miami was. It wasn't a building. Otherwise, the church at Miami was gone. But it was more than that. The church is not a building of brick and mortar. It is a spiritual house constructed of spiritual living stones, of which Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And we are those living stones only if we are like the cornerstone. He is chosen. He is precious. And we can be stones for this house only if we imitate Him, if we're the same kind of stone that He is. See, God has chosen His stones for the construction of His house and will discard all those stones that do not meet code. Now, we understand about codes here in Cary, don't we? In building, that certain materials have to be used, right? They told us, you have to use this kind of dirt, right? There was a specific kind of dirt, whatever that might be. I thought all dirt was dirt. I love signs I see that says, "Clean dirt here." That's an oxymoron, isn't it? But they told us what kind of materials we had to use to build this building. What kind of steel, what kind of wood, what kind of dirt, what kind of concrete, whatever it may be. They said, this is what it must be. Jesus Christ is the standard. And God says, for us to be living stones, we have to be like Him to meet code. And you cannot put into the building that which does not meet code. That which is not like Jesus Christ will not be there. So our lives must conform to the living stone that is the example. God has made us a spiritual house as His church. And there are four aspects that we as living stones are if we are to be built up as in or into the church that Jesus Christ built. Read with me verses 9 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 2. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we are called to be certain things. Number one, we're called to be a chosen race. We are chosen by God. And that is a choice that He did not have to make. We were sinners. God chose to save us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, because of His love, He gave His only begotten Son. Why? So that we might be saved. That we might know eternal life through Jesus Christ. But He didn't have to make that choice. That was a choice completely made by God's love. He in His justness would have been right, and there would have been no sin in God or wrong in God for Him to sit back and let us reap the consequences of our actions. That's only right. I believe in reaping what you sow. But God says, I'll give you something better. He made a choice. He chose us. The Jews are, and we hear a lot about this today, especially in election politics, don't we? Everybody's got to give their allegiance to the Israel nation because Jews are God's chosen people. No, they are not. And I don't have a problem saying that today, even in the religious world. Some would want to argue with me. I receive emails quite often asking me if the Jews are God's chosen people. And no, they are no longer God's chosen race. They served their purpose and that Christ came through them, but they rejected their purpose. They rejected Jesus Christ. That was their purpose, was to bring Christ through their seed. Paul says that it was through seed, not seeds, to the Galatians. That was their purpose. Jesus Christ was what made them special, and they rejected it. They turned Him away. They turned Him down to look for another. And that made them unworthy to be the living stones that make up God's house or God's people. Therefore, they were removed. Jesus Christ said, John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Me. And that includes the Jewish people. There is no other way. You reject Him, you do not get to God. And that's not Nathan. That's God. That's Jesus Christ saying that. So God chooses us according to chapter 1 of 1 Peter. If you flip a page back, verses 1 and 2 says, to those who reside as aliens scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. We are chosen as a result of our obeying the Word that the Holy Spirit has given to us. And the Holy Spirit enables us to obey Jesus Christ through that Word. And by obeying that Word, we are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ and find forgiveness and sanctification through Him that we might be perfect. This is a purifying act. Titus chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6, we see that these things tied together once again, where Paul writes, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, this is saying the exact same thing that Jesus Christ says in John chapter 3, that we must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Water there being, quite obviously, the waters of baptism, the washing of regeneration, as Paul says it to Titus, the washing of renewal, to literally do away with our sins, to rise, as Romans chapter 6 says, to be a new creation, to walk a new life. We become new. Paul also says that, or Peter says that the Spirit is poured out. In Acts chapter 2, and keeping with Joel's prophecy there that the Spirit would be poured out upon all mankind. And His Word was poured out and they spoke as were guided by the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit has provided or poured out to us the truth through inspiration. You know, this is the biblical teaching of the Holy Spirit's role in our salvation. He has provided the gospel, which is the power of God that enables us to be saved. Folks, you cannot be saved without the gospel. You cannot be saved without God's Word. There is no salvation outside of God's Word. And that is what the Spirit gave to us. We are chosen today for service. You know, we're not chosen to sit. God didn't choose us just so that we could have, you know, sit in the lounge. God chose us to serve. We are a priesthood. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. From verse 5 and also in the verses we read, verses 9 through 12. But we are called to be priests. We are called to serve. The priests did not just sit around, did they? They did something. They served God. They had a purpose. And we are called to be that. We are called to obedience. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, since you have in obedience, or have in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. That began first. You can't be purified until you give yourself to the truth. So we have to obey. God has always expected obedience, hasn't He? When we look at the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abel offered, by faith Noah built, by faith Abraham left, by faith Moses did the things that he did. Every one of those statements begins with by faith. But after that it says they did something, right? And that something they did was obey God. And you this morning cannot, and I this morning, we cannot sit here this morning and think that we can go through life and not obey God and somehow God's just going to ignore it. God can't ignore it. He's just. If He could ignore one sin in your life, Jesus Christ did not need to come and die. But the fact that He cannot ignore even one sin means that you and I have to come to Him in obedience. And then also we are called to blessings this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. And folks, oh, what a blessing salvation is, right? Salvation is a wonderful blessing. It's going to culminate in the great blessing of eternal life in heaven with God. The blessing of having an imperishable seed, that which will not fade away, that which we receive from Jesus Christ. Everything in this life will go one day. Everything in this life is perishable except for the Word of God. All the money you make is going to be gone one day. All the cars you have and the houses you may have and all the things you have, the computers you have, whatever it may be that you hold important, fishing boats, right? Season tickets. They're all gone one day. But the blessing of God is eternal. May we focus on the right things. We're also called not only as a chosen people, but we are a royal priesthood. We are royal in that we are brothers of the King. We are sons of God. That makes us royalty. As priests, we are the only ones consecrated for worship and service before God. Only we can offer living sacrifices of Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 2. Folks, we're the only ones consecrated. We're consecrated by blood. You look at how they consecrated the tabernacle and the temple. It was with blood. And our consecration comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're the only ones consecrated to worship Him. And to serve Him. We cannot be defiled by the world if we want to continue to be that. We also see that we're a holy nation. Others are just nations. There are nations in this world, there's nations in history, but we're not just a nation, we're a holy nation. A nation that is set apart, that is unique, one of a kind, set apart to be pure and to be for the service of God. And although we are spread out, as we saw in chapter 1 and verse 1 of 1 Peter, although we are spread out throughout the world, throughout this nation today, we are of one citizenship. Those brethren in India or China or Africa or Ghana or wherever it may be are just as much our brothers and just as much citizens with us in the kingdom of God as we are. Just like people in California and people in North Carolina, both ends of the coast, we're all Americans, right? But we're a holy nation. We are a single body of believers, which enables us to be set apart from the sin and the darkness of this world. We are also a people for God's own possession. All other people, my friends, sad to say, are rejected. God has only one family. That breaks my heart. I wish everybody was okay. I wish I didn't have to say some people were lost. But I can't say anything else without endangering myself of being lost too, right? Because that's what God says. That family is born only from the one truth provided by the Holy Spirit. The religions of the denominational world cannot ever be God's people because they do not meet the criteria of obeying truth. Folks, two can't be right. If there's one truth, two cannot be right. Only one can be right, the one that follows the truth. We better make sure we're in that truth, right? Because there's a lot of, and this isn't about what's on the sign out front. It's about what we're doing in here and what we're doing in our lives out there. Because there's churches of Christ that have the Church of Christ on their sign that aren't in the truth. That's why it's so important that we are diligent in obeying the truth, that we might be in that one God's family. You know, understand me this morning. There is only one church. And someone may say, well, that's pretty exclusive. And yes, it is. But that's exactly what Peter is saying here in this text in reference to God's exclusive chosen group. There is only one type of stone God wants. There is only one truth. And there is only one chosen people, one royal nation, or one royal priesthood, rather. And that he is being exclusive. And it does not matter how sincere others may be. It does not matter how much good they may be doing. It does not matter how many agree with them. The things that make these things are not what makes someone God's own possession, according to this text. It just doesn't. I know people that do many good things, but have never obeyed the gospel. And according to the Bible, those good things will not save them. In fact, those good things will be forgotten. Because they didn't do the one thing that was most important. Obey Jesus Christ. It is only by the Spirit-given Word of God that we can become His chosen people. The living stones of His house. Why has God made us His spiritual house? Why are we here today? We are here, number one, we fulfill prophecy of the kingdom of God. Throughout the Scriptures it talks about us, doesn't it? Talks about what the kingdom of God was to be. And we are that today. It is also to proclaim His greatness. To shine His lights in the world. Peter said, you do good, you show them good works, and even when they try to talk evil about you, you'll make a difference in them, right? They're going to say terrible things about you. They're going to call you names. That's all right. People call me names all the time. Some not so bad, some not so good. People are going to call you names, but he says, you do good and you'll make a difference so that in the day of visitation, some of them will not be lost. We are to shine as lights in this world, according to Matthew chapter 5. And we are to fulfill the great commission of taking the gospel into all the world, baptizing those that they might know the washing of regeneration and the sanctification, the purification that comes through obedience to God's word. Well, how did God make us His spiritual house? Well, that's in the text as well. By taking us when we were not a people. See, I wasn't anything before God. Nathan is worthless. Everything that I am, everything that is any good in my life is because of him. I'm worthless to you, just of myself. All that I know that has anything good, any kindness I might have, any love I might have, any kindness or goodness I might show, is because God taught me those things. He called me to be those things. I was nothing. I wasn't a people. I was alienated. I was out there by myself. I was alienated from God, the one who put me here to serve Him. I was alienated from Him. I was nothing. While I was not a people, He made me a people, right? He made me a part of His family. There's nothing more touching. There's nothing more wonderful than to see someone take someone that is out there on their own and take them into their family and love them. And that's exactly what God did with each and every one of us, right? He said, come into my family. I'll take you in. You may have done terrible things to hurt me and disregard me, but that's all right. I still love you. Come on into my house. Be a part of my family. He gave us mercy when we did not deserve mercy, when we had no mercy. Let me tell you what, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no mercy. There's only lostness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And anyone outside of Jesus Christ is lost. There is no mercy in that. And yet, if you come to Jesus Christ today, you know mercy, the greatest mercy that this earth has ever seen. He gives mercy to those who had no mercy. Then He rescues us from darkness. He brings us into His marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that He translates us, or He moves us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Isn't that wonderful? I'd much rather be in light than in darkness, wouldn't you? They used to tease my grandmother down in Arkansas. She had a quilting group. That's what it is, right? She had a quilting group, and they'd always tease her about being a Camelot. One day, my grandmother, she's pretty sharp. She went, "Well, I'd rather be a camel in the light, right, than a sinner in darkness." Not exactly what they were saying, but she put a nice play on the words there. Now, as a result of coming to the living stone of Jesus Christ today, we have a name. A name that is a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. A name that proclaims Christ. We have today, as a result of coming to the living stone of Jesus Christ, a calling that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And we have a motivation. We are motivated because we have become a people who have received mercy. Such should motivate us to give all of ourselves to God, for we have received that which we do not deserve. And therefore, it demands our whole. Verses 6 and 7, Peter says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe." We can look in John chapter 3 and we see that belief, the opposite of belief, is to not obey. We need to define our terms sometimes, right? When we talk about believe, belief is obey. There is no difference. To believe is to obey. If you do not believe, if you do not obey, you do not believe. That's just the way it works. Like it or not. So when people run around and say, "Well, you can be saved by belief only," yeah, you're absolutely right. You can. When you understand what belief means, you define your word right. Because it means obey. And you better obey. Because that's what God demands. You know, so many people today want to be special. You ever see, you notice that? People today do all kinds of things so that they can be special. They'll do heinous acts. Shootings in schools. You know, we've seen several of these students that have went to their schools and shot their fellow students, and it turned out what they wanted to be was special or known or on the news. People want to be special. They do things to get on television. They do stupid things to get on YouTube, right? You seen some of that stuff? People want to find a way to be special, and they're missing the way to be special in a way that no one else can be. And the best way to be special is to be God's child. How much more special can you be than that? What else do you need in this life other than to be a son or a daughter of God, to be a royal priesthood, to be a chosen child of God, to be precious in His sight? That's special. Let me tell you what, some of the most special people I've ever known are faithful children of God. People that I looked at and I went, "Wow, if only I could be like them." And I live my life imitating them as they imitate Christ. May we all do that. This morning you can be special, you can be chosen, you can be precious if you'll only come to Christ. You'll only obey His word. Become a living stone. Modeled after the cornerstone. And a part of the great spiritual house of God. You can do that this morning. by believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being buried in baptism, having that washing of regeneration, having that blood sprinkled on you there, that your sins are washed away, to rise to be a new creation, to walk a new life, to be a living stone, to be a priest, consecrated to worship and to serve the God of heaven. Oh, that's special. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten how special it is to be God's child. How much you should be giving yourself to Him. Remember once again. Become a strong stone in the house of God. A living stone. Given wholly to Him and to His purposes and His service. We can assist you this morning in any way in becoming what God wants you to be this morning. To be His chosen, precious child. Won't you let us? As we stand, as we sing. Amen.